أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this particular lesson that we're going to have is going to be in regards to family life in Islam and we will have a series of lectures inshallah on this topic in which we will deal with the rights of husband and wife, the purpose of a household, or what is the definition of a household in Islam, how to raise your kids in the West, what are the principles or what are the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in regards to raising kids, what is the purpose of raising kids, and many different other issues and topics as well that would be related to the same topic. The verse that I've recited for you, inshallah, today we're going to start off the discussion with that explanation of this particular verse. If you want to take a look at it, it is in Surah Rum, and the verse number is 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَذْوَاجًا that in my signs, it is that I have created for you from your own selves, spouses. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا so that you can find comfort in them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً and I have made between you Mawadda and Rahma. Mawadda, we will explain what it means, but if we want to roughly translate it into English, it will mean love. Wa Rahma, it would mean mercy. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li qaumin yatafakkarun. Most certainly in this, yani meaning that this creation that I have done, the way I have created spouses from your own selves, the way you are supposed to have comfort with each other, the way that I have made love and mercy between you two, in all of that, inna fi dhalika la ayatin li qaumin yatafakkarun, there are signs for those people who ponder, who think. So if we look at the particular verse, it says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ meaning from your own self. Man and woman, they are from the same species. As far as their bodies are concerned, it has similarities, but it also has differences. As far as their soul is concerned, there are no differences. Everything is in sync or has similarities. So there is no difference in the soul of a man and in the soul of a woman. When we say nafs has different meanings in Islam, but whenever the word nafs comes, it indicates on self. So self meaning your body as well, your soul as well, your intellect as well, your heart as well, your emotions as well, and your physical side of, or you could say your instincts as well, your nature or fitrat as well. So self indicates to all of those things, and it is a summary of all of those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is my sign that I have created man and woman from the same species. They have the physical side, they have the emotional side, they have the intellectual side, they have the spiritual side. And all of those parts or components that make a self or makes an individual. Man and woman share that. And I have made you spouses, azwajan yani, meaning I have made you in pairs. I have not given you all of these things on an individual basis, but I have given these things as a pair. When we say pair, a pair of shoes or a pair of socks, when you say that there is a pair of socks, if one pair is missing, the socks lose its purpose. Like, they're created in a way that both of those things have to be there for its purpose to be completed. So if one sock is missing, it is of no use. And if both are there, and then the purpose or the benefit comes to that individual. So when we talk about a pair, we're talking about, or for example, a pair of eyes. If one eye is blind or one eye is missing, the individual will not be able to see, the peripheral vision will not be complete and would have a very difficult life in living that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying a pair, it means that both man and woman need each other to complete themselves. So a man without a woman is incomplete, and a woman without a man is incomplete. We have not been created just individuals, but we have been created in pairs. The man is one side of that, and the woman is the other side of it. And when these two sides come together, you get completion. And once something is complete, it can go towards perfection. Something which is incomplete cannot go towards perfection. It has to complete itself first and then go towards perfection. So we have, man also has intellectual needs, woman does as well. We have emotional needs, we have spiritual needs, and we have physical needs. And in all of these needs, the pair or the other individual fulfills them in a way that no other thing can fulfill it. So the intellectual needs of a man can be fulfilled by a woman, and a woman's intellectual needs can be fulfilled by a man. A man's emotional needs can be fulfilled by a woman, and a woman's emotional needs can be fulfilled by a man. Spiritual needs of a man can be fulfilled by a woman, and spiritual needs of a woman can be fulfilled by a man, and so forth. So in all of these aspects that indicate or summarizes us as an individual, those needs are there to be completed by the other pair, and vice versa. So if one is missing, the other, that individual is incomplete. And because that individual is incomplete, cannot go towards perfection, cannot reach the heights of perfection. We are created to go from weakness, from strength, and in all the different phases that we go through life, we are created to become complete and then go towards perfection. So that when we leave this world, we might have come in this world as naqis, as incomplete. But when we leave this world, we have become complete and we have become as close to perfection as possible. Absolute perfection is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in creation, the most highest level of perfection that can be reached is Masumin alayhimus salam. The rest of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot reach that level of perfection, but that does not necessarily mean that we cannot go towards perfection or reach higher status or higher stages of perfection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this particular verse that it is, you should know, you should think about this, that men and women, they complete each other, and I have made them in a way that they are going to fulfill those needs that an individual has on all different levels, whether it is the spiritual side, intellectual side, emotional side, or physical side. They're going to be completed by man and woman because I've made them in pairs. لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you can find comfort in each other. When a woman's comfort is also with man, and a man's comfort is with the woman. Comfort is in regards to when there is a person that you can be in their company, that you will feel relaxed and your mind would forget about all the other tensions that you have, and that you would get a peace of mind. Sakana means when a person, like if you were to think about the example, is when the pond is, if you see a pond of water, when there's no ripples in the pond, that state of the pond is that it is in that state of sakana, where there is no movement inside. So when we say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying litaskunu ilayha, meaning all the stresses and the depressions and all the movements inside of your soul, all the ripples and tsunamis inside of your soul, when you come together, I have created sakana for you, meaning that you will become calm, those ripples and tsunamis will die down, and you will have that state of a lake which is completely calm, that does not have any ripples or waves. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and I have created between both of you مَوَدَّةً. Basically means when you have emotions for someone and you bring those emotions into actions. Mawadda is not just having emotions, oh, I like this person or I love this person, but there is nothing in action. If there is nothing in action, it is not called Mawadda in Arabic. So it is when two individuals do certain things for each other, when they try to help each other out, when they try to put those feelings of like and love into their actions, that's when it's called Mawadda. And in English as well, when we say love, love is an emotion, but it is a verb as well, because it says loving. And if it's just an emotion inside of a person's soul or inside of a person's heart, but it does not come into action, you don't really call that as a true love. And if there is that, for example, you know, a brother and a sister, they don't love each other anymore, and they say, well, what can we do? Well, the simple answer to that is start loving each other. Start doing action. Start forgiving each other's mistakes. Ask for forgiveness from each other. Clean your slate. Start from scratch and do things for each other that will build the emotion again inside of yourselves. So love is an emotion. You can say it is a feeling that you have inside of your soul, but it is nothing without action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have created in between both of you emotions that are inside of you, that you love each other, but also that it has to be put into action. Putting into action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that ability. The rest is on our own power of reasoning and power of choice and action. He has given us the ability to forgive others. He has given us the ability to ask for forgiveness of others. He has given us the ability to feel the pain of others and to do something about it. So He has given us the capacity and the ability to put those emotions into action. But it is on an individual, it depends on the individual's power of reasoning, power of choice, that how much are they going to put that effort into it. So, mawaddata wa rahma. Rahma means mercy. Mercy is an emotion, or mercy is a movement inside of a person's soul or heart, when you see someone who is in need, you see someone who's not able to take care of themselves, you see someone that is in a situation where they are going to need help. That emotion or that harkat or movement that comes inside of a person's soul to do something to get this person out of the trouble that they are, or to help them with the things that they need, or to get them out of that situation which is harmful or which is getting them upset or sad, that harkat or that movement is called mercy. And when we say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of His creation, and He's Rahman and He's Rahim. Rahman meaning that he sees all of his creation is in need. He sees that this creation of mine cannot take care of themselves on their own. They need so many things for them to exist. So he gives water, food, shelter, everything to everybody, whether they are a Muslim or they are not a Muslim, whether they believe in him or they don't believe in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them because he is Rahman. He has that inside of him to help his creation who cannot help themselves. And then you see this in the parents as well, that when a child is born who is not able to take care of himself or herself, cannot eat or cannot clean himself or herself, and you see that parents, when they see that child helpless, when that they know that this child cannot help himself or herself, they have this rahmah, they have this movement inside of their soul to take care of that baby. And it is the same thing for husband and wife as well, that when they see each other, that there are things that they need or there are things that they want, or there are situations in which they are upset or stressed, or those situations are going to harm them, a husband and wife are supposed to have that feeling inside to make sure that they take care of that situation, or they take care of that need, or they take care of that circumstance for each other. So Rahma and Mawadda are two separate things. The result of Rahma can be Mawadda, and the result of Mawadda can be Rahma. So they're basically both synonymous with each other or connected with each other. Because Mawadda, we said, are those emotions that is are the emotion that comes inside of a person's heart when they like someone, or they are attracted towards someone, or they have feelings for someone. And when they put those feelings in action, they're going to be projecting Rahma. They're going to be projecting mercy in those actions. So, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Then most certainly there are signs in those, in all of that. لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Those people who think. So when we look at now in the light of this particular verse, man and woman becomes not two separate poles or two completely different individuals who have to fight with each other in the matters of rights, in the matter of who is better, who is not, in the matter of who is stronger, who is weaker, in the matter of who has authority, who doesn't. That you see in the world today. You see that the society from the very beginning has tried to say that man is greater and woman is less. And man is more powerful and woman is less. Or man has more rights and the woman has less rights. And mostly male-dominated society. But then things took a turn in last 40, 50, 60 years, where the conscience of the society became that no, what is happening is wrong, that the woman should have equal rights as man, that woman also has emotions and feelings and needs and they should be taken care of, that it's not a matter of who's better, who's not. But in all of that discussion, still till today, it is a fight between man and woman, a fight of superiority, a fight of who's better, a fight of authority, a fight of differences. When in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse is saying that they are not two separate poles, they are not two separate individuals, they are not, one is not better than the other, but they are two pieces of the same thing, they are a pair of the same thing. So when we look at that way, and there is a household that man doesn't think that he is, you know, better than the wife and he has to oppress the wife, but or the wife doesn't look at the man as, okay, I have to have him listen to me and only me, and the wife becomes jealous of all the other things, or, you know, if the person is going outside, the wife thinks, okay, why is he going outside, and if there is mother-in-law, then there's emotions about that, okay, your mother-in-law said this, or your mother said this, or how come you don't go and make more money than other people? You know, there's other people who make a lot more money. I don't have anything. I should have more things. Look at other husband and wife, how good they are. And look at you, look at us. And all of these fights or all of these things that happen in the household, they're coming because of the fact that we haven't understood what is the role of man and woman with each other. So, inshallah, if possible, we will try to go through more in details about that. But just on the points that we mentioned, let's try to expand a little bit. Now, for a Muslim, because these things can be common with any other household of any other religion, that the intellectual needs are being fulfilled by the husband and the intellectual needs of the husband are being fulfilled by the wife. And you can see that this is common between human beings. And whenever those needs are not being fulfilled, the problems start in a married life or in two people living with each other. And these things become the reason for the two individuals to fight. But there is a difference between a Muslim household and a household which does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim's life nucleus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever that individual does, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there is any intellectual need, for example, intellectual need means the need for knowledge, the need to know what is unknown, to find out what we do not know. For a Muslim, that intellectual needs revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that person wants to know first about the unknown that deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she wants to find out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, wants to find out about the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth. So a Muslim husband and wife, they will help each other in attaining that knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will help each other, meaning they will, whatever knowledge that the husband have, will try to give that to the wife about what he knows about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the vice versa, meaning the wife would give her knowledge to the husband, and they will both share that knowledge, in which they will increase in their knowledge, both of them, and come to a conclusion which will help both of them in achieving a better understanding about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one different. As far as, for example, emotional needs are concerned, we have iman is also in the heart, and also it projects in the tongue, and also it projects in the mind, and also it projects into the actions. So emotions of love and hate in Islam, it has come that to love for the sake of total Islam in the traditions have come that if you want to define in totality in one sentence what Islam is to love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Muslim husband's emotions that deal with love or deal with hate will revolve around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim husband will love his wife, his kids, his job, his friends, his mother, his father, his brothers, his friends, his country, his countrymen, his nation. All of that, this person will love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wife as well will love the husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will love her kids for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will love the parents for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will love the in-laws for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will love the friends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth. So husband and wife, the way they complete each other is that they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in their families as well, that coherence and that synergy and that unity is there. They try to help each other in attaining that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their love is not because the culture dictates that, you know, mother-in-law has to be such and such to the wife and the wife has to be such and such to the mother-in-law. No, mother-in-law loves the daughter-in-law for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the daughter-in-law loves the mother-in-law for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the husband and wife and the household deals with love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there cannot be any fights. They cannot be, oh, I did this for you, or I did that for you, or I, took care of you for 12 years, or 14 years, or 15 years. We've been married for 25 years. I took care of your mother for 25 years, and look what she's saying. There will be none of that discussion, because in the person's heart, they will say, okay, I didn't do for the sake of anybody else, so why should I start putting favors on someone else? Why should I start having expectations from someone else? Whatever I did was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever I loved was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because I have loved someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward is also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I'm not going to look at the hands of other individuals to give me the reward of that love or things that I've done for them. So you would see that those emotional needs that have been taken care of from a husband and from the wife, they are based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the spiritual needs as well. So a husband's spiritual needs, for example, is that this person, when in spirituality you think about, there are certain qualities that are wrong inside of us, and there are certain qualities that are right. And in spirituality, you have this need to get rid of the wrong qualities, to get rid of the bad qualities, and to put good qualities inside, and to elevate yourself in those good qualities. So the husband is going to try to do that for himself and also for his wife. So they will both become mirrors for each other. A husband will tell what is wrong in the wife, and the wife will tell what is wrong in the husband. And together they will help each other out. For example, if the husband, for example, has this disease of backbiting, then the wife will help him in creating that circumstance in the house, or creating that situation in the house, that situation is conducive to the husband, that helps this husband not to do backbiting. If the wife starts doing backbiting and knows that my husband has this problem, or starts talking about other individuals or bringing about the subject of other individuals, and the husband gets involved in backbiting, then the wife is not helping him in spirituality, but has become a hurdle in his spirituality. When in Islam, this is now not how a husband and wife should help each other in spirituality. And on the other aspect of spirituality, to seek help, to be able to take those bad qualities inside of the soul and to put the good qualities inside and to elevate in that, is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Muslim household, a husband and wife, they will pray together. They will, the husband would lead the prayers, the wife would pray behind. If the husband is reading Quran, the wife and husband will both sit down and read Quran. If they are fasting, they'll both fast together. If they're going for Hajj, they'll both go for Hajj. In their worships, they will help each other. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that I've created you in pairs. That if one individual is not helping the other, if one individual is lacking in spirituality or in help to the other individual, this will not work out. And you will not get complete, and if you do not get complete, you cannot go towards perfection. We cannot go towards perfection on our own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us that way. He created us in pairs. So for example, if the husband wakes up for Fajr prayers, it is an obligation on the husband to wake the wife up. Or if the wife wakes up for Fajr prayers, it is the obligation of the wife to wake the husband up. And they should help each other in that aspect. As far as the physical needs are concerned, we all have our needs, as far as eating, drinking, and so forth. So the reason why a Muslim will take care of its physical needs is so that the strength of the body is there to be able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of their actions. If the health is not there, if the person's health has problems, or is weak or the discipline is not there, that body will not be able to work in a proper manner in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So husband and wife have to take care of that. They have to make sure that those things are taken care of so that the individual's body is ready, healthy to work in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, every single aspect that I have described for you as far as needs are concerned, man and woman are paired with each other. One without the other cannot complete those needs. Even in the emotional needs, if we elaborate this a little bit more, and inshallah we will try to go more in detail about this subject. For example, insecurity or to feel secure. A man also has this, that he wants to feel secure in himself. And the woman also has this, that she wants to feel secure in herself. Now, the sense of security that a man would have, it is only the woman who can provide that. And the sense of security that a woman wants to have, it is only a man that can provide that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us that way, and we need to become this way. We need to stop looking at each other as two separate individuals going a separate way. We are part of the same, of one, and once we come together and we start having synergy and we start helping each other out in those aspects, we can become complete, and once we become complete, we can elevate ourselves towards perfection. If you look at history, if you look at the examples that we have of Masumin alayhis salam, of the Aimma alayhis salam's family life, you see that imams helped their wives in all of those things. And the wives of Aimma alayhis salam also helped them in all of those. And if we have certain examples of certain wives, for example, in the history who lacked in that, that is a very small percentage. It's a very, very small percentage. But when, unfortunately, we're looking at it, husband is looking at it, we'll say, you know, oh, look, you know, wives gave so much stress to Aimma alayhis salam and this and that. And, you know, it's very small, minute individuals in the whole history who lacked in that. But if you look at the larger picture, the wives were a great help to Aimma alayhis salam, and Aimma alayhis salam were a great help to their wives. And they both lived in a synergy. They both helped each other out in all of those circumstances. The example that we have of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Bibi Khadija salamu alayha, if you see that the Holy Prophet, when his emotions got affected by the burden of responsibility that was on his shoulders, and because of the pain that people were giving him, he had his support, he had his comfort. He had his peace of mind with Bibi Khadija salamu alayha. She provided that support to the Holy Prophet. When there were things that were happening and, you know, he was being hurt by people, if Bibi Khadija salamu alayha provided the security to the Holy Prophet. And when we look at the example of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Bibi Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, the way that Imam Ali alayhi salam cried when Bibi Fatima Zahra salamu alayha was martyred, and when he buried her, he did not cry like that ever in his life. And if you listen to what he's saying, he feels himself as if he's become incomplete. He felt to be complete when Bibi Fatima Zahra salamu alayha was alive. You see that Bibi Fatima Zahra salamu alayha supported Imam Ali alayhi salam in all of the actions, in all of the aspects of life. If it was household work, she made sure that she would do the utmost effort to take care of the household. If it was raising the kids, doing the tarbiyat of the kids, she did her utmost to bring to bring Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and Bibi Zainab salamullahi to the perfection that they reached. If it was that Imam Ali al-Sattwaslam was going through hard times financially, Bibi Zahra salamullahi never asked Imam, never put any unnecessary burdens on Imam Ali al-Sattwaslam that I need this or I need that. In their household, if you see, they say that that one room of their house, it had a skin of an animal that was used for, as a bed for them, and also as a place where the goats and the other animals that Imam Ali al-Sattwaslam had for his livelihood, that piece of skin was used as a platter for food for those animals. That was also their bed. Simplicity, the most simple life that you can think of. And when you ask Imam Ali al-Sattwaslam, how did you find Bibi Fatima Zahra salamulalayha? When the Prophet asked, he said, "Ni'mal on fi ta'atillah," that I found her to be the best help in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have these examples of great households, of great husbands and great wives. And when we look at them, we always see that they were pairs, that one without the other was incomplete. In every single aspect of their lives, they played a supportive role, they played a completion role to each other. And that is how they were able to achieve the highest levels of perfection that any creation can achieve. So, my brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will go more in detail about the same subject. And the last particular side of this verse, which says, "Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li qawmin yatafakkarun," most certainly there are signs of mine, there are signs in this for those people who ponder, who think. So I would urge you to start thinking for each other. Start thinking that, are you playing a supportive role in your household, or are you playing a destructive role in your household? A husband should ask himself, am I supporting, am I completing my wife's, and the wife should ask, am I completing my husband? Are we going in the same direction, or are we going in the opposite direction? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the nucleus in our household? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason why we are living? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason why we are together? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason why we love each other? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason why we are raising our kids? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason that we have become together, so that together helping each other we can go closer to Him? You should ask these questions to yourselves. And if you find that you have shortcomings in those, if you find that you have not done what you were supposed to do, then it is never too late. You can start from today. First thing to do is to ask of forgiveness of each other. After you have realized your mistakes, after you have realized where you have fallen short, the second thing to do is to ask for forgiveness from the other individual. And you cannot say that in marriage it's only fault of one individual. It is fault of both individuals. And both individuals should look into their soul, look into their nafs, look into their conscience, and decide what shortcomings and what faults and what mistakes they have done. Realize that, think about that, and then ask for forgiveness from the other individual. And then once you've asked for forgiveness, both individuals should forgive each other. And they should clean their heart and move forward and take care of each other in all of the needs of, in the intellectual needs, in the emotional needs, in the spiritual needs, and in the physical needs. Take care of each other on that side. So then you will find that you have peace of mind, you have love, you have mercy, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have in our life. Because that has very long lasting effects. The result of that would help your kids. They will be emotionally balanced, they will be intellectually balanced, they will grow up to have as that as a role model of what a husband should be and what a wife should be. And when they become husband or wife, they will do the same that you have given them as a role model. So when you think about it, it will become like a chain of action and reaction. And in 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, or 100 years, whole of the society will change. And the individuals who will grow up in that household, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nucleus, and the both individuals are completing each other, consider themselves as pair of one thing, and are going towards perfection, these individuals, when they raise their kids, these kids can and will have a good chance of being in the army of the 12th Imam. They will become his true followers, and they will know their true religion. They would know their religion separate than culture. And there's nothing wrong with culture, but the only thing that becomes wrong in culture is that if that culture is standing on principles or tenets other than Islam. And even if this culture is called an Islamic culture, but it does not have the tenets and fundamentals, and the people holding this culture or upholding this culture happen to be Muslims, it will not have any honor, and it will not bring about any results that are positive. So realize the importance of that. Your life is short. You're going to be here for another 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, maximum 70, 80 years, and then we have to leave. And this travel that we are in is a travel from our instinct towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our animalistic instincts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this travel that we have of 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a pair and made us a pair, let's help each other out. Let's help each other out that we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your wife becomes a reason for you to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your husband becomes a reason for you to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your wife is becoming a reason for you to get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or your husband is becoming a reason for you to get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is something terribly and horribly wrong in your household. Even if you have a lot of money, even if your kids have become doctors and lawyers and have achieved this so-called success in this world, this household is deemed for hell. And both of these individuals will be responsible on the Day of Judgment, and they would have to answer for their responsibilities. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the strength to be able to think about the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ponder in that, and to shape and form our lives, that our household becomes a holy household, and our kids become holy, our fathers become holy, our mothers become holy, our brothers become holy, our sisters become holy, our husbands become holy, our wives become holy. In that nation which is waiting for the 12th Imam, he needs a household which is holy, individuals who are holy. He does not need individuals who does not have piety and are not holy. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his coming as soon as possible, and that we become in his slaves and his followers. And inshallah, I have started a few things in this discussion, and I will ask you to pray for me that we can have more sessions on those discussions and we can move this forward. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa al-lazina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasu bil-haq wa tawasu bil-sabr.